the stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
What just happened? I'm Pete.
And on the stack, we talk about a bunch of comics that have come out this very Wednesday, this very day. We review them, we talk about them, and then we tell you what we think.
That's right. And as usual, Alex has just finished a heavy glass of Southern Comfort, so he is deep into his yalls.
Ooh, I am cooking up some nice barbecue right over here in my smoker. I'm very excited for you all to try it.
Very classic Southern thing to do.
Yep. You guys want some coleslaw? I'm cooking it up in my smoker.
A man of all America, Alex Alvin.
Beans? I got a can of beans in my smoker. My children are in my smoker.
Oh, come on, man.
Smoke those kids.
Yeah, smoke those kids. Here's something you can put in your pipe and smoke it. From Marvel Comics, King Thor, number one, bringing back together Jason Aaron and Asad Ribic for Jason Aaron's final tale of Thor. What?
Ribic.
Ribic? Is it Ribic?
Ribic. I think so.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I was saying it wrong.
No, it's crushing it.
So he has been writing a story for, what, 7 years?
Something crazy. It's
a very long period of time. And this is wrapping everything together. This is telling a story of the King Thor, the Thor at the end of time, fighting Loki for the very last time. There's, of course, twists and turns and big things from throughout his run. What'd you guys think about this book?
Jason Aaron wrote the original myth Thor and has been sort of developing the property ever since.
Wow, smart.
Actually, myth Thor was named Jane Foster.
Hey! I just read the last issue of his Thor comic, which led right into this. So it was, that was sort of bittersweet to see him move on to this, but I love that he's ending in sort of this thing that he created, which is a bit of a side quest in the main Thor mythology.
Well, we'll see if it is. We'll see if it's a side quest, because I do feel like particularly there's a thing that happens towards the end of the issue that I don't want to spoil, but you can kind of see it coming over the course of the issue that is starting to bring together a lot of other things that have happened in his run. And I'm curious to see how much it will impact the main Marvel universe versus being just a end of time, seemingly side story.
It is crazy in the Marvel universe how much Null and sort of the symbiote thing has become like just a little like a woven into the fabric of the Marvel universe.
Well, I think part of that, not to get back to barbecue, you can smell the smoker in here, but Jason Aaron and Donny Cates sat down over a big meal of barbecue and hashed out a bunch of things together. So they're definitely dovetailing their two stories together. Yeah. They got excited about each other's ideas.
It's very cool.
Yeah, and they're building a fun mythology together.
They're like Simon and Garfunkel, if they were both Simons.
Ooh, Simon and Simon?
That's what I'm talking about. which you can watch, which is the same. It's just two songwriters crushing it.
You go back and
watch Simon and Simon.
But this book here kind of deals with the thing that everybody kind of deals with. If you have a brother, at some point you want to murder your brother. And it's really just kind of hyping that up. And Thor kind of dealing with the fact of like he's never really wanted to kill Loki. But he's kind of like, this might be it. I might have to finally put this guy down.
So in the relationship you're describing, are you the Thor or the Loki?
Thor all day.
Interesting.
All day.
And if you consider our relationship a brotherhood, which one of us
are you? You're Loki. There's no question about it. There's no question.
You're going to throw him into the sun?
Oh, yeah.
Good luck, motherfucker.
This guy loves
a tan. The sun makes me stronger.
I'll tell you what, I do love a good sun throwing. I enjoy that. Taking your problems, throwing them into the sun.
Throw them right into the
smoker. You're a sucker for that. That's your favorite part of Green Lantern? Like, you love throwing things into the sun?
Yeah, of all the great parts of the Green Lantern movie, that's my absolute favorite part.
You loved it.
Don't go down this road. It's just, it's like all podcasts across the world are being turned off right now.
Yes. Asad Ribic, the art is gorgeous. He works brilliantly with Jason Aaron. There's so much fun mythology stuff here. As I said, I think there's plenty of twists to come. Even if you haven't ever read his Thor run before, I think you can jump in right here. He does a good job of explaining everything. Mm-hmm. It's big action. It's end of the world stuff. Very
it's
fun.
Bleak. Love the Daughters of Thunder as well.
Love them too. Moving on to a Comixology book. This is from two friends of the podcast, James Asmus and Jim Festante. Field Tripping number one. This is the second original title from Comixology that is coming out under their Comixology Originals banner. And this one is a twisted take on the Magic School Bus. That's basically the concept there. Yeah. I thought this was a lot of fun. It's a very silly, as you would expect from James and Jim, but it sets up a really interesting plot ongoing by the end that, again, I don't necessarily want to spoil, but I enjoyed this. I thought this was a good time.
Now, we know these guys from the comedy world.
Yes.
So that's fun to see them really making these moves. And Comixology has a whole new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing stuff.
You just coming to grips with that? Just being like, it's
just seeing it all in one thing is, it's just fun. I feel like there's always a dearth of comedy comics, and to see like fun takes, strong takes that have a comedic bent, always exciting.
Yeah.
Thing that I liked about this in particular was I kept expecting it to become Magic School Bus, but a la, say, I Hate Fairyland or South Park, where it gets really dirty and gross and disgusting and adult. But they never take that route with the comedy. It still feels very all ages, which I appreciated a lot.
I feel like that's an easy choice, especially comedically, because it just makes it clear what all the game of the whole book will be. And to not make that choice is a good choice.
Also, it kind of fits the art style. The art style is, it seems more all ages than, you know, like a dark comedy type of thing. So I'm glad that they kept it that way.
It's still pretty dark by the end. Like, there's some dark stuff happening
there.
Sure,
but it's not like, you know.
Yes, but it's still appropriate for, say, teen readers or something like that. It's not necessarily delving into, like, utter darkness and exploding bodies or anything. At least yet.
I tell you, I wish they had stuff like this when I was in school.
Nice.
Wait, Magic books? School buses?
Yeah, school buses.
You had to ride a regular
school buses?
Yeah.
Just general school
just
buses?
Just school buses that flew to different locations.
No, you wanted magical school buses.
Yeah, I want a magic school bus. You know, I mean, these kids today are so spoiled, man.
I wanted to go to school.
Oh, yes. Alex, horrifyingly homeschooled. You had a magic, like, bedroom, though,
I had
right?
a magic mommy.
Oh, that's fun. That's just as fun. Aren't all moms magic?
Ooh.
Nice.
So that's good. Pick that up. Moving on to a DC comic book, Batman number 78. This is Batman and Catwoman's European vacation. Man. They're just having a lovely time at the beach, just chilling out with their mustaches. All good stuff. While Gotham fucking burns, and I was so
mad.
I was so mad.
That's what kills me. What kills me. All I wanted is this issue. But they gave it to me at such an awful time that I can't fucking enjoy it.
When you go on vacation, you leave behind your troubles.
Right.
You don't go on vacation and you're like, oh, what's going on at the office? Do you?
That's completely different.
Why? You're the Batman of your office, Pete. There's no doubt about that. You keep your office safe from, I don't know, misfilings or whatever.
Do you think, like, Bane keeps sending him emails and getting his out-of-office autoresponder?
This is not the worst.
Hey, Batman. Like, what's the deal?
What are you coming back to Gotham? This is my third attempt to reach you.
Batman's out of the office for the next 6 to 8 days. If you need, if you need to reach anyone, just check into one of the Robins. Maybe you reach the Robins.
If you haven't been reading the book, Bane has taken over Gotham. The villains are running Gotham. Batman was beaten. His father, Thomas Wayne, from an altered dimension, has taken over as Batman of Gotham City. Batman and Catwoman had a huge breakup back in Batman number 50 that absolutely emotionally destroyed him before he was physically destroyed. Catwoman found him almost dead on a mountain, and she has slowly been nursing him back to health in Paris.
Yeah,
that's a great place to nurse.
Is it Paris?
Magnum P.I. styles.
I don't know if they're still in Paris, but they were.
Okay, but they're definitely in Europe somewhere.
Yeah.
So they've been out there while everything's going on.
There are no beaches in Paris, so they're definitely not there right
now. Yes, the thing that frustrated me, and this is, it's expertly drawn by Clay Mann.
So
it's
beautiful.
So well written by Tom King. But from a plot perspective, the fact that they make it clear that Batman's like, ooh, Bane's too strong, he's taken over the city, while they're ordering drinks, I was like, no, I don't care.
He switched to a ginger ale, first off.
Oh, my God. This doesn't frustrate you, Justin?
No, because I think he was broken by Bane twice in his life, and he is...
Maybe we don't know. Yeah,
maybe they had other confrontations, like around the office, perhaps, like we're talking about. He can be a real dick with the refrigerator. I'm saying Batman knows he can't go back and beat him, so he's not going
to. I'm sorry, Batman, but I eat your sandwich.
Hey, who ate my sandwich? It wasn't wheat. It wasn't Bane, was it?
Does it feel like I ate your sandwich?
Oh, man. No, but this is... so torturous. Tom King is perfectly putting this in the worst spot possible.
No.
I've wanted this issue forever, and he gave it to me at a time when I can't fucking enjoy it.
No, Batman. No, he's smart. He's a smart man.
Yeah, I agree with you. Currently, though.
Well, but I would argue he knows he can't win. He has to fix himself and get better. When you're in the hospital, you're not like, oh, I got to go back to work right now. You wait until you're healthy and then you go.
It was the relaxing on the beach and going on dates that bothered me.
He needs to be emotionally repaired with his relationship with Catwoman. I don't know. I liked it. It was a perfect balance of like sitting on the beach and like relaxing, trying to like recenter, and having these huge, intense conversations about his relationship. Plus, when you have a mustache, nothing matters.
Is that true, Pete? You have one of those big mustaches that covers your entire face. Yes.
That's called a beard.
Oh, that's a beard.
That's the word people have been using.
I've been wondering.
I didn't know about that.
I thought a beard was with bees.
Well, that's a very good comic book. Let's move on to a Marvel comic book, Powers of X, number 4. Pete is already shaking his head, but Pete is, of course, keeping a very much an open mind as we talk about these comic books, with the understanding that he is frustrated because they're not giving it all at once.
Alex is talking to Pete like a father talks to a child who is misbehaving at an important party.
Yes, it's true. So in this issue, if you haven't paid attention to Powers of 10, the idea of this book is it jumps through the different time periods of the X-Men. Here we get a bunch of important information, but the most important thing of all is we once again get Jonathan Hickman's Mr. Sinister, which is fucking fantastic.
So funny. Oh my God. It's so crazy.
Oh, I love it.
I can't believe you said Mr. Sinister and not Cypher. This is, how are you not excited about
this? This issue was a delight for you. Top to bottom.
So let's break it down. There are three sections. There's the first section, which is Mr. Sinister, who's like pretty sassy, sort of like fucking around.
Over the top sass.
It's so funny.
So funny. His little aside. So there's a thing where one of the Mr. Sinisters, they go to the island. This is Magneto and Professor Xavier. They have gotten all the information about what's going to happen in X-Men continuity from Moira McTaggart. They are traveling to Mr. Sinister before they meet him in the comic books to his island.
Bar Sinister.
That is filled with Mr. Sinisters, and they want to meet with him because they're like, hey, we're going to use you to keep all the genetic material of the mutants, make you forget about it and tell you later. And the Mr. Sinister who's running it is very sassy about a cape. He ends up getting killed by the Mr. Sinister as mutant DNA, and there's a hilariously drawn aside where Mr. Sinister leads it and is like, you're wondering which one it was who has the mutant DNA? It's me!
Yeah.
So funny.
Super funny.
And then there's a bunch of gossip items for Mr. Sinister.
What the fuck is that? Why are we reading a gossip column?
Did you read
in the middle of a goddamn comic book?
It's teases for what's coming up in all the X-Men books. It's so good.
I read a couple of them. I couldn't keep reading. It was just ridiculous.
No, they're exactly what Justin said. There's stuff that's happened in the past, stuff that's happening in the future. It's teases for everything that's happening in October. It's great.
Teases for Madeline Pryor. Teases for Wolverine, Cyclops, Jean Grey love triangle, for the third and maybe more Cyclops brother.
I love that one.
Yeah.
That was great.
A lot of talk.
Like personal fucking torture.
A lot of talk about Inferno, oddly.
Yes.
You love Inferno.
I felt like that hint, the Inferno hint was like, there's an Inferno 2 coming up or something like that.
I think so, because mentioning Madeline Pryor and then later Inferno feels like it's very on. I feel like we could do a whole podcast breaking down those things, not right now, but maybe sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Like the very near future. And then so we move into what's the next section?
Professor Xavier Cypher just drops off a dude for a year.
Cypher.
Here's a bag.
He's cool with it. So there's a lot going on in this section that I thought was kind of fascinating. Cypher, we learn how Cypher first communicates with Krakoa, but we also get Krakoa's backstory, which tells us for the first time about, I don't know necessarily if it's an evil Krakoa, but another Krakoa that was split there.
I want to guess evil.
Yeah. Monsters came out of the ground, and seemingly the only thing that fought them back were Apocalypse and the Four Horsemen.
And four original Horsemen, another thing that's teased in the Red Diamond section about how Apocalypse wants his original Four Horsemen back.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very... Is that Archangel and that crew, or is it this original crew from the Krakoa?
Yeah. Now, the other thing that was very subtly worked in there is Cypher, in this iteration, has the Technarch virus. I'm forgetting exactly what it's called.
The Phalanx?
The Technarch virus, whatever it is. Yeah. So he's partially part of the Phalanx, and there's a little shot of him touching the leaves of Krakoa and infecting it with the Phalanx virus, which is worrisome.
Feels like a big problem in the future.
Yes.
Because in the last section of this comic, it's all about the Phalanx. And this is the part where I was reading, I was like, oh, I bet Pete doesn't like this part.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, I had that thought too.
Yeah, it's funny. and this is sort of we've had this whole Phalanx Technarch thing that's
also
been running through.
100,000 years in the future, or whatever it is. So,
you're not worried about that.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm dead.
Yeah, so. But it's also like we don't know what's going on or who anybody is.
That was definitely the section that was not filling in information so much as continuing information. Yeah. We get to see this super future society that is trying to join the Phalanx in some way. Phalanx has taken over the entire universe except for Earth, presumably.
It seems that way, but we don't know. It also seems like they're trying to put in sort of placeholders for themselves so they can maintain their independence is my take from it. I don't know if that's true. It's a dense section. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
But this feels like there's been so much attention paid to the Phalanx and sort of this technological future war that's maybe happening. Very curious how that's going to play in because it feels so far away from all the other story elements.
Yeah, I would say one of the great things about this issue and the storyline in total is those of us who have emotionally invested in Cypher since the beginning, really getting the payoff we've been asking for, and the rest of you are shit out of luck.
That's
all right,
great.
Audience of one.
Then you get more bullshit text at the end where it says Professor Xavier is just like, hey, I probably made a wrong decision, guys, but we all have to live with it.
That's true.
Yeah.
That wasn't infuriating to anybody?
Cool. No, that's what always happens with Xavier. He always makes wrong decisions, and everybody always has to live with them.
And he always apologizes for them.
Yes.
It's
He's
nice.
Terribly sorry. Did you see the hit movie X-Men Dark Phoenix? Same thing happens there. I watched it on a plane this weekend.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, is that your way to humble brag? You've been traveling?
Ooh, Mr. On a Plane.
I don't want to brag too much. I was on an airplane.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Did it go in the air or were you just on the ground?
No, it wasn't an airplane so much as a car.
Okay.
It wasn't a car. I went inside of a store.
Nice. You went in a store that was playing X-Men Dark Phoenix, which is the worst kind of store.
Yeah, it was a Best Buy.
Cool. Where's Alex? Oh, he's at Best Buy watching a movie.
I'll tell you what. I did watch Star Wars Attack of the Clones in a Kmart once.
Wow, man.
That's a big share, man. A
lot of humble brags coming out of Alex.
Yeah. I've been in
attention
Kmart
shoppers. Disregard the weird man watching a movie.
All right, let's move on to a Valiant comic book, Livewire, number 10. We've been really enjoying this book by Vida Ayala. This has embroiled Livewire in some political intrigue. This continues that storyline here as she tries to repair her PR image. I'm really enjoying this take on the character. I think this is such a fun riff.
Me too, and I love the use. Comics has a hard time with politics, I feel like, and this feels like just a great use or a great combination of politics and the comic book art, superhero art form.
Yeah, I mean, what's tough about this is our main character is being, like, duped a little bit by other people, and that's a little frustrating because Livewire is such an amazing character and so badass. I hate to see her kind of like fall for something.
I can't imagine what it feels like to be duped by a politician. So it's cool to see it in this comic book.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say to your point, I think what they're playing on is the fact that Livewire is at her lowest point. She's cut off from absolutely everybody. So she is a prime target for this sort of thing. Right?
For duping.
Yeah, for duping.
Yeah.
She's getting duped.
She's getting duped. Image Comics, Reaver number 3, another title we've been enjoying. This is a hardcore fantasy epic by Justin Jordan. Pete, bunch of heads getting lopped off this issue. What'd you think about it?
Oh, this is great. This is really fun. You kind of get a team sent into a town to kind of get some things done. And I really like the way it kind of unfolded. It's just such a creative kind of take on these different characters. And I've really been enjoying each issue. The art's fantastic. Really fun storytelling. A ton of action.
It's fun. I like the way this book is able to break up the different characters and sort of serve each of them differently. I think it's a really well done version of that.
There's a great kind of onus on short people being like really powerful and being able to do a lot more than regular sized people.
Why do you like that?
I just think it's important.
Now, did you hear there's going to be a movie version of Reaver And they cast somebody to play that character who's a tall person, a tall actress I can't think of.
Oh, that's
Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. That's good.
It's too bad. A bit could have been funny.
It could have been funny.
You need a couple more details. You need a couple more details on
tell
that.
Tell you what, we'll tape this again later.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's take it again.
I'm curious what tall woman you were thinking of.
I was thinking, I don't know. I was honestly about to say Mila Jovovich, but I have no idea how tall she is.
Interesting. Mila, if you're listening, and I know you are, please hit us back up.
Charlize Theron is pretty tall.
That's correct. Yeah,
I'll tell you what. If any actresses are listening to this podcast right now, just email us contextless your height.
Gina Davis is very tall.
Oh, is she?
She's cool.
Oh. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah,
she was in Globe.
Yeah. Oh, man, she was.
They cast Gina Davis, Pete.
She's a great actress.
Yeah, as the short person, though.
Oh, that hurts.
Glad we landed that plane, airplane, airplane. We were all just on an airplane in your face, cars.
From DC Comics, Event Leviathan number 4. Oh, this is continuing Brian and Michael Bendis' tale with Michael Gatos, right? Is on art?
I believe so.
Somebody has destroyed all the spy organizations in the DC universe. Bunch of detectives are trying to figure out what happened, unmask the identity of Leviathan, the mastermind behind all of this. In this issue, we get to see Superman go toe-to-toe kind of with Leviathan and get scant few clues about the being's identity. How are you feeling about the series as we start to wrap it up?
I think so. This is the most Bendis-y Bendis series of all time, I feel like. It's
too
literally
bad you couldn't get another Bendis in there.
I'll find a way. Right. Finds a way to have all the characters literally having the same discussion that everyone reading it is having. Mm-hmm. They're like, who is Leviathan? For 80% of the issue is literally all the characters being like, what do you think? Is it you? What have you been doing? And like, it's like a long chatty conversation. There's a couple cutaways to some other shit that's happening. Lois Lane drives a very nice car, which I thought that was a funny moment, but it's truly the characters and the readers are asking the same question.
Well, even the Lois Lane car moment, she's driving out of Bruce Wayne's house and Silencer is out there and is like, wait, who is that?
Yeah.
Oh, is that Lois Lane driving Bruce Wayne's car? That's interesting. What's she doing there?
Yeah.
Oh, there's Superbad.
This is a book that has too many questions and no answers, and that's been a problem, I think, for this issue and the last couple.
Oh, man, I disagree. I'm really having fun with this book. I think it's very interesting how everybody's struggling with this and, like, trying to, you know, even the big hitters are having a hard time figuring out who this is and what's going on. And it's kind of fun that we're getting this kind of like them trying to figure out conversations as well. And especially around just a stack of cookies, you know, the important.
Now we get to what you liked about the issue.
It's great.
You always like a good stack of cookies.
There's nothing like a stack of cookies.
You love a good a comic where the butler has really left his mind. The cookies are good. The milk's cold.
But I do think this is a fun event, the old whodunit. And I think they're doing a good job of steering us in different directions. And, I'm excited to see who is revealed.
So who is Leviathan? I feel like I ask this question a lot. You are annoyed when I ask.
I'm annoyed because they haven't actually given
it
up.
Make a guess. That's the whole point of it. If we can't guess, then why are we reading this?
I don't know. I still think it's Steve Trevor just because he's been off screen for a while.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Fun.
It could also be General Lane. That's another one because they point out that it's pretty weird that he was attacked but left alive.
It's usually one of the Robins, so I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
Damien, that was my guess a few weeks ago. I do feel like it has to be someone in the room. The way this issue is written, it feels like it's somebody in the room there. So Damian Wayne was my initial guess. I think he'd be a good pick. Though what I was thinking reading this issue was, what about
Green Arrow? Yeah.
It could be. Why, though?
Well, he has this, like, sort of anti-corporate, anti-organization in his history. I feel like he could finally have been like, we need to get rid of all these spy organizations and change the
and I mean, I guess you could make an argument that I don't remember what continuity this is in, but he's certainly tied to the League of Assassins, which is where Leviathan started. Mm-hmm. So maybe he had a hostile takeover from Talia al Ghul or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it could be.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in 17 issues time. I'm kidding. There's two more. Moving on to a Marvel comic book, Star Wars Age of Resistance Supreme Leader Snoke number 1. This is by Tom Taylor, who wrote the Poe Dameron one-shot that we really enjoyed a lot. Mm-hmm. This one is showing Supreme Leader Snoke, who had a very short life in the movie series, training Kylo Ren, taking him back to Dagobah.
Yeah.
to the cave to train him there. Pete, what'd you think about this issue?
Well, I think you guys as parents have really got to look at this and like, this is how you raise a child. Like,
yeah.
you know, the yeah. tough love is super important. You take him to a sketchy location, dude. Shove him in a cave for a couple days, see who emerges. You know what I mean?
Don't need to tell me. My kids have been roasting in that smoker all episode.
Oh, man. Slow cooking. Mm-hmm. Raising a child is really like slow cooking them into adulthood.
Wow. Wow. Nice job, man.
Thank you.
Nice job.
I'm a parent. Yeah. Yeah, I've already picked out a couple of sewers and caves to take my kids to and leave them for a bit.
Yeah.
You gotta, that's what planning is all about, is planning. Knowing ahead of time. Ooh,
wow, planning is all about planning.
Wow, that's yo, super deep.
Put that on.
Cool, wait, dad, did you just come up with that now?
Yeah. I know, wow. I actually plan on something.
Oh, man.
I don't know. This is a comic that feels like suffers a little bit from the nature of some of these comics where it's like, hey, these characters, you know the beginning and end and some of the middle, and we're adding a little section of the middle. And this felt like a story that you could have been like, oh, I bet I could predict how this goes.
Yeah, but I also really liked some of the choices that they made in this. Like, the fact that, like, Snow calls him out for being a little bitch and, like, hiding behind the fact that, like, hey, you can't just wear your Vader mask and hide, you know?
Yeah.
You've got to put yourself out there. I thought that was really cool. But I'm also glad we got the cutaway because I couldn't have taken, even though it's a comic book, watching him stab Han and Carrie. Like, I just could not have taken
Han and
that.
Carrie.
I could not have taken it.
Interesting split there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I call them Harrison and Leia, but I mean, it's interesting you do that.
I call them the two lovers.
Oh, nice.
The two lovers.
The original lovers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My platonic ideal of sex.
Yeah, this is not quite as strong as the Poe Dameron issue, which was a lot of fun and had a great twist at the end. I actually would have wanted to see more focus on Snoke without Kylo Ren, because this felt like a Kylo Ren issue versus a Snoke issue. And there's so many questions about him and his past. They even talk about them in this issue. I think there's so much more to do with the character. I would like to have seen that versus, to your point, stuff that we probably could have filled in the dots with.
Although I really liked the ending. I thought that was really cool.
One bit I did like, though, is the story follows in the idea set up in the most recent Star Wars movie of, like, burn the past. Like, we have to move forward, which I prefer that.
It's Tom Taylor.
You
Tom
prefer
Taylor's
to burn the past?
And when it relates to Star Wars, I much prefer Rian Johnson's take than the sort of, like, let's make the same movie again of that we saw in Episode 7.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we'll
yeah,
probably
yeah,
be
yeah,
seeing
we
an
got,
episode.
We got, we got, we got.
Oh, okay. It's, can I finish my sentence?
No,
planning
I mean,
is planning.
If you're going to just, you know, it's a very common. Okay.
What?
Wait.
Are you calling me common?
Well, I'm just saying, you didn't have to explain it. I knew what you were saying.
Okay. Yeah, I sort of get what you guys are saying, but the only Star Wars movie I've seen was Attack of the Clones, which I saw in a Kmart. Yeah,
that's true. Sound up or no?
No sound.
Oh, yeah. Good. That's no the sound. Best way to watch the prequel.
Yeah, it was on a small TV.
One, every other TV was showing like something cool, and one TV.
Yeah, I was like, I want to watch that. Cool. Why are those clones attacking?
Again, Alex, I'm glad you brought it up again. Still cool.
Image Comics Thumbs number 4 by Sean Lewis. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago to talk about this very book. We've been loving this book on the show.
Good.
It is about a technarchy, I guess, has taken over the entire world. What?
You love saying technarchy.
I do love saying technarchy.
That's a different, I think you mean technocracy?
Technocracy. Oh,
technocracy is from Powers of Max.
Right. It's sort of like a Phalanx X-Men type thing.
Cool.
Has taken over the world, and there's a couple of folks who are fighting against it, kind of, or rather just trying to find some people who have been lost to them. The art is absolutely gorgeous. The story is exciting. How'd you guys feel about this issue?
Art alone is worth picking up this book. It is so amazing.
If you haven't read it, it sort of has Chris Bocciolo style to it.
It's like Chris Bocciolo meets Frank Miller.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Yeah, it's because it's a little less detailed than Chris Bocciolo's work. But I love the way the sort of quote unquote camera sits in a lot of these panels is so good. So many close ups which you don't see in a lot of comics. The art's great. I love the story. It's so unique, so original.
And also the coloring is a big part of it as
The reds.
Reds really pop. They're against the blacks and the whites and everything. Great comic book from top to bottom.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story. Very intrigued to see how this lands or where this goes. So far, it's been really killing it.
There's a real gut punch at the end, too. I don't want to spoil it, but it gets to a big emotional place, and we have one more issue to go.
And thumb's always been your favorite finger.
Yep.
You like using tools?
Sure do, man.
Pretty cool.
Tool guy.
All right, another Image comic book, Trees, Three Fates, number one. This is continuing the story from Warren Ellis about a world where these enormous alien pillars called trees fell to Earth. That's pretty much it. There's not much else that happens other than that completely changes society. Here we find a small town that was afflicted by one of the trees, dealing with a murder mystery right around the base of one of the trees. What'd you guys think about this issue?
I like this. You never know what Warren Ellis is going to do, finish, or go back to. And I'm surprised he went back to this world, but I like it. It's good. Great catalyst to tell whatever story he wants to tell in this world. And this is a cool one. Good twist at the end.
Yeah, I mean, the way it starts, too, with the, you know, classic fight, you know, relationship fight. And, you know, that's, you know, people have always kind of wanted to end relationships by dropping a giant tree on somebody.
You're an anvil.
Yeah, I think it works well in this comic.
Yeah, we should mention that Pete dates a lot of cartoons.
Yeah. Big, you're over in Toontown a lot. Oh, yeah. Around that Roger Rabbit lifestyle.
Yeah, this is great. What I love about this, and you touched on this a bit, Justin, is the idea that in almost any other comic book, it would be all about the trees fall, what's inside of them. We have to stop the trees. Oh, my God, they're opening up, and there's big monsters attacking the world. But this is just, nope, it in subtle and big ways changes the way the world works, but otherwise the world is just trucking along.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to read. I'm very excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, and I wonder, will we ever know what the deal is?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's very funny. From DC Comics, Gotham City Monsters number one. This is Steve Orlando trucking through the back end of the DC Universe as only he can, pulling out all the continuity stuff with all of the different monsters who live in Gotham City, pitting them against an ultimate evil from the multiverse. This was a blast. I loved reading this.
Steve Orlando is so good at just like taking characters and just fleshing out their details and like putting it into a larger story. And he does this with each of the characters. I Vampire's in this, a character that maybe not a lot of people even talk about. You got Killer Croc.
Yeah, Killer Croc was great.
You love a Killer Croc. Oh, the villain was super scary looking.
Yeah, he's like some sort of jigsaw looking motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. Real circle cheeks.
The way Steve Orlando writes Frankenstein in particular
so
is
good.
Fantastic. So funny and dark and darkly humorous at the same time. Yeah. This is also, DC does this very well in general. This is starting a little early, but this is a perfect Halloween book.
Yeah.
It's great. It's dark. It's disturbing. It's clearly going so much bigger than it has to. And I love that.
Yeah. It's huge. All the storytelling is on the page.
It's a really fun read.
Yeah, definitely pick it up. Here's an advance review from Dark Horse Comics coming out September 18th. Steeple number one. Concept of this book is a lady moves to a small town to help out the, what would you call it, diocese, I guess?
Yeah, church people.
Church people. And she discovers a little more than she bargained for. I didn't know what to expect going into this book. I loved it.
I did too. It was so good.
Oh, my God.
I love how just like basic and fun the premise is, and everything's super grounded, even though it gets pretty wild, the premise.
Yeah,
and fast. And it's just great. I really thought this reminded me of Bone, the Jeff Smith book that I love so much.
Oh, yeah,
it has some elements of that in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, just the art's fantastic, great storytelling, amazing action. Just does such a great job of immediately sucking you in, getting you on board with what's happening. This was so great. Really creative, really fun.
It reminds me, the art reminds me a little bit of Giant Days from Boom Studios.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it, I don't think it's the same artist. But,
I don't think so.
But it's a little bit like that. It's very fun, but at the same time, I think we can mention that there's some supernatural goings on in the town that she ends up having to deal with.
Spoilers,
it's
bro.
Not really a spoiler. It's right there in the concept. But it expands out from there, and I think the thing that works so well about it is how grounded the characters are.
Yeah.
They're very straightforward. They're very simple. They're very plain. Spoken throughout. So it's very low stake, high stakes, everything that's going on. That while you have these characters kind of going about their everyday business, they're still dealing with the end of the world at the same time. And it's very fun.
This is the church. This is the steeples. Open the door and see all the readers.
Wow. Nice. There's your pull quote right there. Yes.
Put that on your book.
From Marvel Comics, Silver Surfer Black, number 4. This is the penultimate issue of Trad Moore and Donnie Cates' series, taking the Silver Surfer back in time. His power cosmic is slowly getting corrupted as he's back in time. He's been battling Null, everybody's favorite.
Yeah, dude. Get that dude everywhere. Null's going to be when Squirrel Girl coming up. Ugh. Null's going to be
Why did you make that noise?
I don't know. Yeah, it's
you're
too
nulled
much.
Out.
It's too much Null.
Well, come
too
on,
much
Null.
Too much Null. I love this book. It's too much Null. Well, just give them to me in like little pieces, like dole them out a little bit. No, you know, man. Not all at once.
Sorry, Null's.
I feel like that gif of Homer Simpson getting the donut stuffed in his face over and over in hell. Except with Null.
I feel nice.
I love this, but stop stuffing it in my face.
Alex is very cool. He speaks in gifts.
I just want to be this gif that is Homer backing up into that bush and disappearing when you talk. So,
which Homer Simpson gif would you like to be, Justin?
I want
to
be a real boy, not a little repeated gif.
Oh, man.
Guys, you got to break out of your shell.
Nope, never. So, we see him dealing with Ego, the living planet. The big cliffhanger of the last issue is Ego is dealing with something that's stuck inside him. Turns out it's the cube that Galactus used to escape from his dying universe, the thing that turns him into Galactus as he moves from the previous universe to the Marvel universe we know. And Silver Surfer has to weigh a choice. Does he kill Galactus when he's still Galen, still relatively human?
Just a regular astronaut.
Regular dude in a cube. Before he becomes Galactus, or does he let the universe continue on its path? We get some guest stars again on this issue, a lot of moralizing. This series is so wonderful.
I love it. The art is so good. I said this before, and I maybe it seems like overstating, but this feels like the Sandman for the Silver Surfer. It feels like it's creating a mythology around all these characters in the Silver Surfer's world and blowing it out in an interesting, fun way. The art's fantastic. I love this book.
Yeah, it's just so creative and so unique and well done. It's really fun to read. You have no idea where it's going to go. It's a fantastic package. The writing and the art together, they're just killing it.
I'm very nervous about where we're going to end up in the last issue because it feels like they might make some big moves and big changes to the Silver Surfer. I feel like this is going to have a lasting impact, which you wouldn't necessarily expect from a series like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Let more know, I guess.
Yeah. Ooh. Every issue know?
Yeah.
Just stuff those donuts in my face, man. Bring it on.
More donuts.
Last one to talk about from DC Comics, The Riddler, Year of the Villain, number 1. Wow. This is from Mark Russell, who also wrote the Sinestro one-shot that we really enjoyed a lot. In this one, the Riddler is dealing with the fact that every other villain in the DC universe has been given an offer by Lex Luthor, except for him. And at the same time, he's working with, what's the guy's name?
King Tut?
King Tut?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. King Tut, another riddle-themed villain who's very into the two of them teaming up.
A worse riddle-themed villain.
Yes, a worse riddle-themed villain. And there's some big changes throughout the issue for Riddler. What do you guys think about this one?
Super fun.
Apex Lex in this one. I think it was weird because Batman was kind of a douche in this. He was I'll be back in a half an hour, guys.
Cocky.
Yeah, very cocky.
I did love, which seems so out of character and so ridiculous, but the thing with the Gotham City police being like, hey, you want us to put some pizza in the fridge for you, Batman? Yeah,
super funny.
The idea that, A, they're just kind of hanging out together, B, that Batman ever eats pizza. Very funny.
Oh, he loves to scarf a slice.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. Who
particularly after Catwoman left.
No, exactly. Sad. Aww. He's just like,
dude, really brought meat lovers. You really brought it down with that.
Yeah. Probably Bane's leaving him messages now. Be like,
I found the pizza you left in the fridge.
I'm in line for the pizza tour.
But I did think this was very creative and well done. It was fun to see Riddler kind of so shook.
Yeah, man. When you got to write riddles all day, it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to figure out riddles?
No.
Imagine, no, you don't?
Peter's a riddle master.
Are you?
Yeah, no, I just keep reading and then they solve it for me.
Oh, in the comic books. I was talking about riddles in the world.
Oh, I don't do that either.
You don't encounter riddles?
Nope.
Wow, okay. Well,
Anyways, I just think that, I'm very interested to see what how the Riddler evolves from this.
I thought this was great. Mark Russell he's a singular writer. His comics stand alone, and this is just another great example of that. They're super funny, but they also have like a moral or real center that he gets to with all these single issues and the larger stories he's done. And this one about like, hey, Riddler, I just think you never grew up.
Yeah, that was fucking tough.
It was tough.
I was like, oh, don't you fucking put that mirror up to my face, man. Oh, I can't take it.
Yeah, it's so cool that to get to the core of a character like that in this sort of event-based one-shot is super fun. And it's also the King Tut stuff is super funny throughout as like a shitty Riddler. Great.
If you'd like to support this podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on down. We'll chat with you about comics. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. You can subscribe on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, or the app of your choice. And we'll see you at the smoker later for some nice barbecue. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll yank you all. Y'all come on down.
What?
I don't know. I think I had a little bit of a stroke there.